Welcome. You're listening to The Leadership Focus, an internet radio show geared to everyday leadership, both at work and throughout your life. Each week, we present you with new ideas, interesting guests, and actionable strategies to help you be an incredible leader with a more balanced life. I'm your host, Lisa Pasbjorg, Executive Coach and CEO of Focus Coaching, a leadership coaching and training firm based in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And tonight, our topic is Beat the Big Guys at Hiring the Best, Creative Talent Management for Today's Environment. Our guest is Michael Hess. Michael is CEO and founder of Scuba Design, a company which designs and manufactures an award-winning line of carrying cases for laptops, cameras, and other applications. Michael applies his 20 years of experience in marketing, product development, and executive management to making Scuba Design an exceptional company. His relentless pursuit of excellence, as well as his creativity, have produced a highly successful multinational business that competes with the big guys for the best ideas and the best talent. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, Lisa. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. So I know Scuba Design is in Rochester, New York, but you're traveling now, correct?
I am. I actually decided to take a little time to get some undeserved work done. It's not something I've ever tried before, but it's worked out pretty well, and I'm going to do it again, and I recommend it.
Wonderful. Well, advice from the coaches, I'd recommend it too. It sounds like a great idea and a great strategy. So starting out here, tell me a little bit about your journey. Have you always been a natural leader, and how did you get into this field?
Well, to the first question, I don't know if I've always been a natural leader. I guess the best way I can answer that question is that I like to think I'm just a normal, common sense human being, and I guess I know how to work with people internationally and within my own company, and if that, I guess, translates to good leadership skills, then I guess the answer is yes. I don't think of myself in that role because I run a very egalitarian company, but my track record seems to be pretty good, and for the most part, the people I work with respond well. So I guess that's the case, as modestly as I can put it. And as far as getting into this business, my family had owned a 50-year-old company that manufactured and distributed photographic equipment, was very well known in the industry. And among the 13 or 15 different product lines that we were involved in, which ranged from sheet metal manufacturing to book publishing and darkroom equipment and all kinds of things, many of which don't exist anymore, we manufactured a well-known line of camera bags. We actually had our own sewing factory in Rochester, New York, which is a rarity in the United States these days. And I ran that business in my early days in the family business. I focused exclusively on that business, and eventually I was taking on a greater role and running the broader company. But I always enjoyed the bag business, as we say, because it was a great creative outlet. I consider myself a 100% right-brained person. I'm really only interested in and good at creative work, or best at creative work, and that business was a good outlet for that, whether it was product design or collateral marketing, the fashion element of it, experimentation, things like that. And we sold our business in 1998 to another photographic company, and I stayed on for a little while to aid in the transition, and then was itching to do something new and on my own. And I started a new bag company focusing more on laptops and portable technology, still a little bit in the photographic realm, but really more laptops and other non-photographic items. And the company was originally started under the name RoadWired, and it morphed. It's a much longer story than I can tell, but it morphed into what is now Scuba Design, and the company is about 10 years old now. So it's something that's been in my blood for about 20 years altogether. Yeah. And it's a challenging industry, but I enjoy it.
How old were you when you started then? Were you really, really young? Like a kid?
Yeah, thank you. No. When I started scuba design?
No, when you started in the business, the bag business.
I was about I'll be 45 next week. I'm not afraid to say. So if I work backwards, I was about 25 when I started in making bags, designing bags, what have you. And then just by coincidence, you split the difference, and I was 35 when I started scuba design. So I guess I started somewhat young. I didn't go directly into the family business out of college, but a few years after.
Yeah, yeah. So what was your college background then? Did you go into business?
Nope, not at all, actually, because I was so prescient, and I say
that
with the utmost of sarcasm. My major was Soviet studies, which wound up... there was no Soviet soon after I left college, but I actually didn't really know what I wanted to do, and I had taken a course with a professor that I enjoyed, and I just said, I'll do that. I initially was hoping to have a military career, and that would have, at the time, provided some good background, and, you know, life takes twists and turns, and it wound up not being very necessary for me, but one of the many things I believe is that what you're doing in college very rarely has anything to do with what you wind up doing in life, unless you're studying something very specific like medicine, law, engineering. I'm a big believer in liberal arts and just getting a good foundation.
Yeah, learning how to learn and getting turned on to new ideas. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So it sounds like every 10 years something major changes in your career. So is next year the year for you now?
Who knows? The company has a lot of interesting opportunities ahead of it, and also challenges. We're in a very crowded industry, and it's fairly easy for anybody to get into this business and hard to succeed at it. When I first started in the bag business, particularly in photography, there were really just a handful of prominent companies. And now there are, you know, certainly hundreds. We have to keep moving fast, thinking about, you know, what zigging and zagging we can do to try and stay different, stay ahead, make ourselves stand out, especially when we're a small company going up against not only hundreds of other small companies, but a handful of gigantic companies, 100 times our size or more.
Sure.
And we're not a mass market company, so you won't typically find our stuff in the, the $29.95, $49.95 kind of stacked up on the shelf in a big mass market store. So we always have to do things differently. Our distribution is different. Our products are different. And going forward, We're always looking at what we can be doing next to try and stay relevant and keep growing.
Well, I know you're a very creative guy, and I love your products. What makes Scuba Design as you're welcome? But what makes Scuba Design as a company so special?
Well, first of all, we're small, and I've worked for large businesses and medium businesses and small businesses, and all of the things being equal, I like small business. You stay close to the things that you enjoy, whether it's working with customers, working, with the real rolled-up-sleeves kind of approach to product development and marketing and things like that. And, we run a very, like I said earlier, a very egalitarian, fun, casual, creative business. We really don't have, we have minimal structure and hierarchy. In fact, sometimes when people jokingly call me boss just because they know how much it annoys me, I don't like to think of myself that way. I only cast my boss vote when it's absolutely necessary. But more often than not, other people in the organization, pretty much have unlimited freedom in making decisions and taking a few risks and trying things. And, everyone really is equal. I mean, the product designers, graphic designer, office manager, everyone's got an equal say in what we do. And, if it comes down to a stalemate, then I'll put a little extra weight on my vote sometimes. But I just enjoy, going to work and just being, sort of a clubby, familial sort of environment where we're all in it for the same things. We all enjoy ourselves. There's no clock watching. There's no politics. None of the usual things that go along with larger businesses and even some small ones. So, we certainly have our share of headaches, but we always try and keep it fun. Humor is a big part of our business, and we have a set of core values that we really believe in, They really guide everything that we do.
Is that your business class, or is the business class something else?
The core value, or we on our website we call it the fabric of great companies. Obviously, playing on what we do with textiles and things like that. But I'm not a big believer in mission statements. I think most of them are very empty and meaningless, and most companies don't even follow them. They're just something to put on an annual report or sound good. But I do believe in values. Whether you have one or in our case 10. That you use as genuine daily guiding principles, and if you create the right set of values and they're realistic, you really can turn to them, to answer almost any question in the business. When you're saying, should we do this or how do we handle this? It's not to say that we always open the book of values and read from it, but we know what our business, how we want to be perceived, what our ethic is. How we want to be treated and how we want to treat people and what our product design mandates are, and all of that is covered in there. And so it's very easy to stay true to what we are because we all really believe in it. It's not just something that I scratched on paper to sound important and then I passed it out to everybody and said, follow this memo. I'm fortunate in that everyone in my company really is very much on the same page. And shares those values.
Well, these are beautiful. I'm looking at them now. Elegance, consistency, execution, evangelical culture, quality relationships, obsessive customer service, humility, conservative disciplined financial practices, great design, and honesty. There's beauty, there's connection, there's respect and communication. There are all kinds of wonderful things that people would want to work for a company that stands for that's how they show up.
And elegance is really, if we could almost eliminate everything and that word is really my personal guiding watchword because it's, although it's a somewhat of an old-fashioned word, it really is comprehensive because as if you read the detailed subtext below each of those, you'll see that elegance really can be applied to anything, whether you're selling, lettuce or heating and air conditioning or, luxury cars. You can be elegant about it. It's the way you treat people, the way you, the way you package things, the way you ship things, the way you answer the phone, the way you design things. It's not just about, Corinthian leather and things like that. It's about, just a general approach towards the way you do things, and I say somewhere in the those values that to me the highest compliment anybody can pay a person or a company is to say that they're a class act, because you don't need to say anything else.
Right.
And so if anyone ever describes me or my business, that's the way I'd want them to describe it.
Beauty and simplicity and grace all in one. How nice.
Yeah, we try.
So. You know, and I know, that the key to all this is having the right people. It's having great people. It's having extraordinary people, really. And then, of course, keeping them happy and having them remain engaged and feel like, this is the place I want to work. I'm wondering if you're familiar with Small Giants. Do you know about Small Giants?
Yeah, loosely.
Yeah, loosely. Well, they're an organization that is busy building a group of companies around the world, actually. They have sites in various countries around the world, but the American or United States hub is actually in Ann Arbor. But it's companies that have chosen to be different, to be great instead of be huge. So they've sought to have different kinds of core values. And I think about, as you describe your company, as it would be a company that would likely resonate with that message and that group of folks.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, forgive me, I didn't mean to interrupt, but as I often say to people, and I've written about and counseled people on, anyone who says that business is about anything other than making money is, for the most part, disingenuous. That doesn't mean that there are very altruistic businesses that do good things, and of course, there's nonprofit businesses who function differently. But if you're in a commercial enterprise, your one and only inevitable goal is to make money. Otherwise, you can't employ those people, you can't do any good work, you can't be charitable. So when people say, you know, our goal is to save the world, you can only save the world if you make money. And it's not a bad thing, it's not something to be embarrassed about, but, speaking to what you just talked about with small giants, how you choose to do it really, I think, is what defines you. The way you do your work and what line of business you choose to go in, and then how you conduct yourself when you're in business and what your goals are. Like you said, you know, for me, I'm in that group that really I'm being the biggest at anything is not important to me. Being good at something, I won't say the best because that's a tall order for anybody, but we try. Being good at something, enjoying what you do, treating people well, being appropriately rewarded for what you do, those kinds of things, and being proud of it, frankly. I actually had an interesting discussion with someone once who I was advising, and without going into the details of it, I posed a hypothetical, and I said, if you could make $100 million doing something that you couldn't go home and talk to your kids about, or you could make $5 million doing something where you'd like to go to your kids' class and talk about it, which would you do? And this person said, without hesitation, said, whatever makes the most money. And I said, well, that's where we differ. we all want to make money,
yeah.
But I like to be able to tell my kids what I do and be proud of it, even if it's just making computer bags, which is not going to save the world.
Well, it's not necessarily about saving the world, but it's about making a difference in a way that you have the skills and ability and qualities to make that happen. So finding that is so valuable. Let's take a quick little break here, and we'll let people know who we are and what we're doing in case they've joined us later. If you're just joining us now, you're listening to the Leadership Focus radio show. You can listen to us live on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern or download the show to listen later. I'm your host, Lisa Posbjerg, and tonight we're talking with Michael Hess of Scuba Designs about great companies, great talent, and innovation and creativity. So coming back, Michael, we promised listeners that we would talk with them about some of the strategies that you've come up with to, even though you're not a big company, to attract the best people, to keep the best people. And I know you've talked about some of the values and sort of the, I don't know, the culture, if you will. But I'd like you to talk a little more specifically about some of the things that you do or have done that have been helpful. Because I know there are many, many companies that would like to do this stuff, but they're saying, well, we can't afford it, we've had these big cutbacks, we have no money, we can't do these things. Although, interestingly, I heard yesterday on the news, and I don't know whether you did, that some survey, some research just came out that they were talking about party like it's 2008, that companies are bringing back the holiday party that
mm-hmm.
they abandoned for a couple years in an effort to make it more fun for people that are left after many times after cutbacks and restructuring. But anyway, I noticed in that article that initially drew me to you and some of your writing is you talked about, I think the phrase you used was make everything a benefit or everything you can a benefit. Can you speak a little more to that?
Yeah, you know, one of the unavoidable truisms of small business is that you always, especially if you want to survive and succeed, you always have to do more with less. Every element of the business is about counting pennies. You can't do everything that a big company can do. But as most people know, 60% of our economy is driven by small businesses. There are a lot of opportunities out there for people who want to work in that kind of environment. And since you can't, you know, if someone walks in the door and wants a comprehensive benefits package and 401k and health insurance and everything else, it's probably not the right place for them. So what you have to do, as I said at the beginning of the discussion, is really just apply common sense and human decency and, to be a little cliche, kind of golden rule stuff and just say, you know, what would make people happy to work here? I may not be able to match the pay they could get somewhere else, you know, or the benefits package. But, you know, I do believe and studies have proven that the work quality of life is very high on the list of people's priorities. And very often they're willing to give up a certain amount of material compensation in order to have, you know, a job that they enjoy. So to your question about making everything a benefit or creating benefits wherever you can, you know, you may not be able to do all the big stuff. We try. I mean, my ultimate goal, for example, is to be able to pay for everybody's medical insurance 100%. We're not there yet. We're inching our way there, but it's very difficult. The insurance industry makes it almost impossible for small companies. But in the meantime, I find everything else I can do. If I can buy them a little life insurance, which is inexpensive, you know, little daily, you know, things that make life at the office more pleasant, like, you know, keeping the kitchen stocked. I know it sounds silly, but too many people are just too cheap and short-sighted, you know, not watching the clock, giving people freedom. You know, you tell me you need to leave for a while, leave for a while. I know you're going to get the work done. We have benefits like we let people use our shipping room to send personal packages within a certain set of guidelines, of course, but makes it much easier for them during the holidays. They don't have to go to the mailbox store and get ripped off and make a special trip and all that to send their gifts. So everybody has an allowance to use our shipping facility for their own personal use. There's a lot of stuff you can do if you just think a little creatively about what, you know, what can I afford? You know, what is within our means? You know, buy lunch once in a while, you know, be a sport. Make an excuse to have a little thing. You know, if it's somebody's birthday, we always have lunch on everybody's birthday. Whatever everyone wants, I just say, hey, pick a menu from somewhere and let's get it. Any milestones like that, you know, offer generous employee discounts. You know, don't have a lot of rules and regulations. Don't have a big brother mentality. These things are so cheap and easy to do, but there are so many people who just, you know, either don't think of them or they avoid them. And it's amazing how far you can go with very little and making people happy to show up at your door every day. And that's really the key.
Yeah, yeah. And it's thinking creatively about what you can do that would make life a little bit easier or be meaningful.
I think what people really want to know, in my experience, when they work for a small company, any company, what they really want to know is that their employer is genuine, that there's, you know, that they know what to expect, that they're, you know, there's no, forgive me for saying it, there's no BS. They know you and they believe in you, so that they trust you. And if you say you're doing everything you can, they know you're doing everything you can. If you make gestures to show that you recognize their challenges, one of the examples I pointed to in the article was when we had the massive gas price crunch a couple of years ago. You know, we gave out gas cards for a while just to ease the burden until the pricing problem passed. You know, I'm not trying to be a hero. It just helps people, and they know that you care.
Sure.
And it doesn't hurt me at all to do those little things. They just don't cost that much. So just find ways to help people when they need help and find ways to reward people when they should be rewarded. And if they know that you're doing everything you can, you know, they're very open-minded about, you know, working for a business that has limited resources.
Good. Tell me about your boss, the BOSS that you've come up with.
Oh, my trademarked, I think, business owner's stress syndrome. That's a huge subject, and I wrote that article and got quite a few emails and comments posted and things like that, mostly from people who can relate, but a lot of people who are in denial, I guess, and think that the business owner has to be some kind of superhuman person who never has a bad day and deal, you know, it gobbles up stress and spits it out and all of that. But I think I have a pretty high capacity for stress, but there are times, and, you know, in fact, now here I am on my little getaway where I just needed to break away for a while, get away from email and phone calls and things. I coined the phrase boss because people who own their own business often think that they are the boss, but they may have one that they don't know about that controls them or affects their behavior or makes their life difficult at times. So, some people say the customer is the boss, and there's a lot of truth to that. But this is another, I guess it's another form of boss. It's your physical and mental well-being, I guess, that very much affect the way you run your business and treat people.
Yeah, I'm always working with people when I'm doing executive coaching about managing stress and managing their own physical self so that they get enough sleep, they get rest, they have, you know, times that they're going full out and, you know, really cranking, and then times that they can rest and take breaks, that they're feeding themselves well, that they're, you know, having things other than work in their life, relationships, and all of that, because none of us function well if we're not taking care of it. And you're right, people, I think a lot of people think that people in leadership or more boss roles just eat up stress and nothing phases them and they can sleep for 4 hours. And in fact, even if they are marathon men or women, really, to be most effective, it's a series of sprints. We need to rejuvenate and then, you know, really work hard, and then rejuvenate and really work hard, even if it's in little bits throughout the day.
The role of boss or business owner or president or whatever as someone above all of these human frailties is ridiculous. I mean, you know, everyone has stress and problems and issues. No one is any different than anybody else. But and you have to deal with them and take care of yourself. And you do have to lead by example. And you know, a good employer should work as hard or harder than anybody else, because you do have to set a standard. But you can't bring it home with you. And by home, I mean, you know, the office in this case. You know, you do have to make every effort not to make your stress affect other people. You have to, you know, keep up appearances and show people that, you know, you are in a leadership position.
So we're just about out of time. How can people hear more from you? I know that you do quite a bit of writing.
I do. I write a weekly column on BNET, which is BNET, which is the CBS News business website, and it's BNET.com, and you can find my column under the business owners category, and then you can just search for bloggers, and you'll see my name. Sooner or later, you'll find my column is called Business with Class, and it's all about running a small business, you know, the ups and downs, and, you know, what I consider to be the standards that I aspire to, and anybody can reach me through there. There are contact buttons to email me. You can, I love when people post comments, good, bad, or indifferent, and they can argue or differ from my opinion. And also, of course, anybody can find me through our website, which is scuba design, unconventional spelling, SKOOBA, nothing to do with scuba diving, design.com, and all of our contact information is there. I'm very accessible, maybe too much so, but I try my best to be responsive.
Wonderful.
And always
Wonderful.
Glad to hear from people.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us tonight on the Leadership Focus, the show which gives you new ideas, interesting guests, and actionable strategies to help you be an incredible leader with a more balanced life. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you have, please go to blogtalkradio.com and become a friend and make us a favorite. To sign up for our free newsletter with more tips and strategies, you can go to focuscoaching.net on the web. Again, focuscoaching.net on the web. Until next time, this is your host, Lisa Pasbjord, urging you to be a better leader every day.